Good morning and welcome to another Tom and Shane podcast. It's we're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. We hope that you will join us and be part of the family. I'm Tom. I'm in Bozeman, Montana. Shane is in Kamloops, Canada. And what more can I say, huh?
Other than it's cold and snowy, got to put a snow up here. I know you're getting snow down there, so it seems that winter has finally settled into the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah. Well, I'll be the light side today. Shane will be the dark side. So Hey, our topic today, we're going to have some fun today, Shane, because our topic is UFOs. Are they real or not? And prove it. Prove they're real. Are they? Are they owned? So what do you think, Shane? Are UFOs real or are they fake?
Well, I don't know. My personal opinion is that they're extraterrestrial, and because they showed up after the world started testing and using nuclear weapons and were able to, you know, to split the atom. I think nuclear weapons are a universal weapon, and so it scares any intelligent beings out there. Anyone that develops them or has the sense of developing them is a threat or a potential threat.
Yeah.
So I don't see that they're in any way a threat to us personally, other than, you know, just keeping tabs on us, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think they're a crock, Shane.
No, there you go.
I think they're a total crock.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't doubt that there are people seeing stuff in the sky. I've seen stuff in the sky that I couldn't explain, and probably you have too. You know, I mean, you're in Canada. Everything you see is probably beyond explanation. But
no, everything I see is a miracle. That's
it. Yeah, that's well, there you are. So I strongly doubt that there are intelligent extraterrestrials flying across the vast things of space and showing up, in our skies. Everything I've seen, you've seen all the pictures, right, from the pilots and everything. They're flying along and they can't identify this thing, and they got it, their little target site, you know, and they're flying along, and yeah, I don't know what this thing is, but it's going really, really fast. You know, so.
Well, a couple of things have come to light. This last week, NASA and the Defense National Intelligence Agency that develops new technologies have determined they have the theory now of time travel by warp, literally warp speed within time. And that it's just a matter of when, it's just a matter of when they'll be able to do it, because they need a powerful source of energy to travel. So instead of taking thousands or millions of years to go light years, they can do it in a matter of days. Secondly, the Chinese have announced a major new aircraft that they've built with side engines on the wings, can apparently fly as high as Mach 6, which puts it, you know, obviously in line with the type of aircraft we're talking about. But of course, it would also be a drone, because a human being couldn't fly a plane that would be able to go that fast. So, it's potential that it's technology that's being developed either by the Russians, the Americans, or the Chinese.
Yeah.
But, the fact is that as a existing belief of wanting to find somewhere else to live besides where we should just stay, you know, man wants to reach out, and we're a sentient being, and trying to search for the ability to travel so that we can visit other places. There's no reason to believe that any other sentient being or intelligence out in the universe, and I'm sure there's lots of them, wouldn't be doing the same thing.
And
I think they're benevolent. If they were benevolent, they would have already taken us out for some reason. I think they're benevolent, and they see us as just we're probably a third world planet or a third planet, or a third level intelligence. We're not even first universal intelligence yet. So,
Yeah, there you go. Madeline's with us. Thanks, Madeline, for joining us this morning. And well, that brings me to the next topic here, because if we believe this crap, and I call it crap because I think it's crap, does life exist on other planets? And I'm willing to concede that some form of life is in the, all over the universe. I mean,
there's no question. When you look at the miracle of carbon life, and keep in mind, we only understand carbon-based life. That's what's evolved here. And you know, like it, you go back to Star Trek as a kid and all the different types of life forms that they created, which was great. But the bottom line, we're a carbon-based form of life. We have a near-perfect, as they say, Goldilocks location in our solar system to the sun for it to exist, and we're a water planet. And, you know, so we're going to seek water because that's our primary need. We know we're 88% water as a species. But having said that, you know, I feel that, you know, that to me, there's a certainty because of things that have happened, particularly with nuclear weapons. The lead up to, you know, assured mutual destruction in the 70s and then early 80s by Russia and the United States in particular, developing and building over 100,000 nuclear weapons. And then all of a sudden coming to some kind of agreement, you know, under Reagan to reduce it to a very nominal amount, around 15,000 each. China was never involved in any of the discussions. And now, you know, through science, of which no one's ever really written anything about, I mean, how they got rid of 100 or 200,000 nuclear weapons, and, you know, then where they put them and everything. Having said that, and then the final thing is that I think that the leaders of our world have been in touch with extraterrestrials, and they've told them, you can't have these kind of weapons. They're dangerous. Yes, it's a universal weapon, and all of us have them, but, you know, you'll destroy yourself, and you've got to do something about it. So
you believe the U.S. government or any government in the...
Oh, yeah, Russia, China, Earth, yeah, France, Germany, anyone believe, with nuclear weapons, yeah.
I understand that, but you believe they've been talking to extraterrestrials?
Yep, I think they've been in touch with them since back in either the Eisenhower or Truman administration. And, you know, when you look about at certain things and you try and understand how they came about, like I was describing, the number of nuclear weapons built and then dismantled and so forth, and the particular matter in which, you know, things have happened, including the collapse of the Soviet Union and the way and manner in which it's happened. That's just my observation.
How do we bridge the language barrier between, you know, somebody on G13 two solar systems away? The length of time it takes a broadcast to go, you know, just to moon.
There's 118 dialects in India. There's over 83 dialects in China. Translators. It's very simple. Translators.
So they have translators on these planets?
Well, of course. Why wouldn't you? I mean, people have to communicate. Okay. We've learned to communicate on this planet very easily. It's no reason to think that any other sentient being wouldn't learn to do it as well.
Yeah. Well, if you believe the movies, extraterrestrials come here for only two reasons. One is to populate the planet and get rid of us with their own group, or to exhaust every natural resource we have and move on. You know, so that's according to the movies.
That's Hollywood. Why I say we know that clearly they're benevolent and they're not. That's not a need. And we're finding that out ourselves now. We now know that to get to other places, if we do get into space, you know, we'll use asteroids other planets or comets, you know, to mine and get whatever we need in space. I mean, water comes from comets. That's why we have it on our planet. And, you know, metals come from meteorites. So, you know, it's a simple matter of that and how the rest of the planet got, you know, created. So, yeah. It's all out there.
Okay.
Just have to mine it.
All right. Well, I think we're going to, we're going to have to define intelligent life, because according to, well, our scientists, there's no known life, intelligent life in our solar system, which is 9 billion light years across.
Oh, I disagree with that. On the planet that we live on right now, the cuttlefishes probably is more intelligent than the human being. The scientific study of the cuttlefish in the last 20 years have resulted in incredible understanding of what they're capable of doing, far beyond what a human being can do, just in being able to change the entire color of their body, do it instantly, match it to their surrounding areas to camouflage them. So they show intelligence, they show capability. And we have no idea what other species can do as far as communications. We've really never made an effort to study them. I was just this morning reading to my granddaughter, about different types of wild cats, like from tigers to lions to cougars. And only in our lifetime have they really been studied and understood. That's in years of my generation, 60 years, right? So
yeah.
So much has gone on in 60 years, you can't even, it pales to what's gone on out there for billions of years. So,
well, in a definition of cuttlefish, then I seriously doubt cuttlefish are going to be able to fly craft from one planet to another, intelligent or not. That's what we're talking about.
Intelligence is, it can be measured in all different ways, not just engineering.
This exercise, we're talking about life that is capable of building a spacecraft and traveling from one place to another. That's
correct.
That's what intelligent life is.
Yeah, but again, depending on the life form. We're blessed with a thumb. We're blessed with toes. If we didn't have toes, we couldn't stand erect. If we didn't have a thumb, no matter how engineeringly brilliant we are, we couldn't have done anything until we built built robots to build things.
Yeah. Well, that's where we are. I define intelligent life as the ability to create tools and the ability to use those tools in an intelligent manner to create something. Now, beavers build dams, but they don't do it with tools, the Earth is about 4.54 billion years old or 6,000 years old, depending on your religion. And, we've only come along in the last 500 million years, right after the dinosaurs.
And only survived to certainty after the last ice age. So really 15,000 years, our cultures have evolved in 15,000 years. And, we've been very successful at that. And up until 200 years ago, man has basically had very little capability other than, engineering and mathematics to build some pretty remarkable things. Mm-hmm. But what we've accomplished in North America and then led the world to add on to it in the last 80 years, not even 100, I'd say 80 years, 100, is just incredible. We've had this conversation before. I don't understand how all the other people on this planet for the previous 2,000 years, I guess they were sitting around on their butts a lot.
Well, they didn't have the freedom to pursue any dreams, That's another topic for another time.
But it still affects the whole aspect of intelligence.
It does, no question.
It's like this whole issue we're dealing with today with COVID and government telling us what we should believe. Well, these are the same people 500 years ago thought the world was flat, come on. 400 years ago, 300 years ago, 200 years ago, they were in charge of everybody. And cutting your head off if they chose. A lot has happened about, in 100 years. Yeah.
Talk about intelligent life, huh?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, according to scientists, since the beginning of time, we've had about 5 billion living species, not organisms, but actual living things walking around on the planet. 99% of those are extinct.
That's correct, because we've had over five extinct level events, you know, ELEs, on mm-hmm. in the last 100,000 years to 200,000 years, going all the way back to 100 to 300 million years ago with the dinosaurs. So yeah, and 99.9% of all species, plants, animals, and birds and fish have gone extinct. And that's, it's just been a natural factor. So when they talk yeah. about global warming and man is so terrific that he can destroy the world, don't, it's okay, folks. You know, if you wake up in 1,000 years from now and find out that we're still around, be surprised.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point. You know, the planet is, you know, pretty much the same as it's been since the dinosaurs. You know, I mean, there's been changes here and there, but you know, I mean, we've had oxygen, we've had water, we've had sunlight, the normal stuff, temperatures, you know, vary here and there.
Yeah, basics, the science, like photosynthesis. I mean, without it, we wouldn't exist.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
There you go. Yeah.
So why haven't the dinosaurs come back? Because the conditions to create dinosaurs are still here. What about the passenger pigeon or the dodo bird or, you know, name your extinct species. Why have they not come back?
Well, it's just because of the survival of the fittest the ability for you to be at the top of the food chain. And
the dinosaurs would be at the top of the food chain, I think.
Well, they were, but yeah. Then there was an extinction level event that wiped them out in a year, and they were gone.
Why are they not back?
Because that event lasted for 1,000 years, and so
What does that matter?
Well,
that event ended, and the planet went back to sunlight, water. Plant life came back. All these things came back.
Yeah, modified.
But why didn't dinosaurs come back?
Because they didn't fit the pattern of development that the planet found itself in, and they didn't fit the course of new life being formed and developed. And like we always talk about, we have to adapt and we have to invent and we have to have an imagination. Mm-hmm. To be able to survive ourselves. So, you know, without Mother Nature, we can try and do it on our own. I don't know what the likelihood of it is, but we'll see.
If man was extinct tomorrow, they would never come back, ever.
Probably. No, never. I don't think so either. I don't.
Okay.
No, it's a species that would not come back. One of the things we've learned through archaeology and geology is exactly that species on this planet do not regenerate. They're eradicated. When an event happens, they're eradicated. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that is my argument for no intelligent life in the universe. because every single thing, Shane, has got to be absolutely perfect. Perfect, not sort of perfect, not a little bit perfect, not 99% perfect. It's got to be 100% perfect in order for intelligent life to spring up and over periods of time evolve and become intelligent life.
Well, that's very possible. It would be an awful waste of space if it were true. But again, the life form that we have, carbon life form, we're very weak when it comes to the type of species we are. And
of course we are.
We live in a very narrow band. We're affected by air pressure. We're affected by water. We're affected by oxygen, which makes it very difficult because of our body shape and the way it's built, gravity and the effect on it. Our DNA, all these things have restricted us and will continue to restrict us to live on this planet. If man somehow gets to the moon or even to Mars, the second generation would never be able to come back to Earth and live here because they wouldn't survive. So, I mean, we may be able to adapt to other other planets, but we don't adapt to it very well. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
The other thing about it is, though, is it's just the luck of the draw. You know, do we catch an asteroid or a meteorite? You know,
no.
does the magnetic poles of the planet shift? You know, is there a huge event of volcanics or the crust of the planet shifting? I mean, you look at the weight of the oceans on the planet and how they affect it. It's sheer resolve that someday it's going to affect it in a very gross way, meaning like seriously bad. Like it's going to be a major event, geographically, that's going to be, wow, that's a barn burner for all of us.
Yeah. Mike says, you're not perfect. I didn't say we were perfect. I said the conditions for life to spring forth like we did have to be absolutely perfect in order for that to happen. And if we were gone, the conditions would still be here. If we were eradicated by a virus, right. And that's where I think if the human race goes, it's going to be a virus of some kind.
Or bacterial infection.
Yeah, some kind of thing that we can't find a cure for in time, and everybody's gone. Yeah. But the conditions for human life are still here, and it's extremely doubtful they would ever come back, and the universe would be devoid of any intelligent life.
Well, I don't think the universe is devoid. I don't give us that much credit. You know, there's no question that a lot of the capabilities that we have seen in our lifetime and from the science we understand of the existence of our planet, there's no question that, intelligence, sentient beings exist in numerous numbers out there, not a couple of hundred. I mean, there are going to be several thousand species out there that exist.
What do you base that on? What do you base that on?
Just what we've seen happen here. We don't know in what case other forms of life can exist. We don't know. We only know what we see.
Well, I will grant you there's life probably all over the universe. I mean, things can live in various conditions, various gases.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
like us. There's no other us. We don't have a twin planet out there.
Yeah. No. But in order for, you know, life is not a big deal to have in the universe. Plant life, various bugs or whatever, viruses, bacteria. I mean, that's no big deal.
Right. That's right.
But to evolve into some kind of a living being, not us, but a being that, you know, however it gets around or however it moves, or maybe it doesn't move.
You know, man, I don't think you need to worry. There's not another one of you. Okay. You're one of a kind. Okay?
I'm one of a kind. That's for sure.
You're like a snowflake and you're like a raindrop. Okay.
Yeah.
One
right.
of a kind. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't believe there is intelligent life in our universe. 9 billion, light years across, thousands, millions of planets, for them to be the exact distance from Earth, to have a radiation shield, to have all the water and the air and all of that. You know, the planet didn't start with oxygen and water. You know, that came later.
That's right. It came. From asteroids that collided with the planet, and comets that collided with the planet, and then we just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The right place at the right time. That is so remote, happening anywhere else.
I agree with you. I don't think anyone disagrees with you. But there's no question. There's other intelligence life out there. It's not going to be.
I don't think so. I don't think there is.
Oh well, then then you're foolish.
Well, I'm sorry, but the conditions of space and, you know, we're the only known life, intelligent life in the universe.
No, we're not the only known.
Yeah, we are.
We're the only one known to us.
Okay. If you say so. No,
right. That's fact. I mean, they just discovered on Mars a canyon that would stretch from New York to San Diego and be 9 miles deep, and it's full of water. And,
but there's no intelligent life on Mars.
We don't know that. You don't know their.
Yeah, we do.
No, you don't.
Of course we do.
No, you don't. You don't know that. No, you can't make that statement. No, you can't.
We've been to Mars.
Not knowing doesn't mean it's possible. That we've already learned that here ourselves.
So by your theory, there's life. There's people walking around on the moon then. Using your theory.
No, that's not what I said. I didn't know, and that's not my theory.
Well, you said there's intelligent life on Mars. We just don't know it's there.
I didn't say that. I didn't say there's an intelligent Mars people. I said there's a possibility of it because there's water there, and before the Earth cooled off because the sun was so hot, and Mars could have had a climate so similar to ours.
It could have, but
yes,
yeah. But it's not. But it ain't coming back.
Well, no, it's not. We've already agreed on that. We're past that.
Yeah.
But with the resolve of these telescopes we put in orbit, and the work that they've done on looking and into space, and the different NASA developments of that, there's unknown numbers of universes. There's billions and billions of universes. So there, in effect, mathematics would tell you that there's no way there is not intelligence in beings somewhere else in the universe. It's just like here, the odds of what it was here has been figured out, and what the probability has been figured out, and that probability exists elsewhere in the universe, and by some other means, life by some other means is unquestionable.
Yeah. Well, according to two people, Earth remains the only place in the universe known to harbor life, and that's any kind of life. That's plant or anything else.
That's a stupid statement. That's a stupid statement. No one can make that statement. The vastness of the universe, they can't make that statement when they can't even see beyond. I mean, they thought Pluto was a planet until, 50 years ago.
And then they found out it wasn't, so.
No, then they determined it was just a big meteor circulating that had a, that circled around the sun. So, I mean, come on. Any scientist, smarter or otherwise, that would make that statement is, foolish.
Well, two have. Robert Graham, extraterrestrial life in the universe, says no. And
Based on what?
Well, read their book.
No. Based on what? Have they sent satellites out for a million light years or 100 million light years or a billion light years? They have no idea. I mean, Voyager has been out there. Voyager 1 is just now ellipsing. Yeah. Within a month, we won't hear from it, and it'll continue into the unknown. So, I mean, that's 40 years ago. Like, come on.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got a Goldilocks zone, 4.2 light years away. And there are other planets that are similar in distance from stars and could have the possibility of life. I will give you that. Intelligent life, pretty remote, pretty darn remote.
I the odds are far greater that it does exist than they don't. But of course, you can always fall back on the religious tenet, and if you have a belief in God or a faith in God, and he is the great being of the universe, and maybe only intelligent life he wanted was on this planet.
Let's suspend all reality and pretend that there are beings on other planets that could could get here with the vastness of space and how they find just this little pea spot in the middle of nine billion light years across. How they find this little spot here?
I don't know. It depends, I guess, the type of science that they have and the technology that they have and the sensors that they have. You know, man's only starting to develop an understanding of mechanical censorship or sensors. But, you know, we have them for turning on lights and we have them, you know, for being able to set temperatures. And so, I mean, they're more than capable of sending drones out. I mean, I don't know why we spend all the money that we do to send men up in planes anymore when drones will be, you know, the golden age of pilots is over. You know, yeah. Golden age of space is going to be drones and mechanics and robots. It's, you know, and until they have a way of man being able to travel great distances, I mean, like several million light years in a few days or a month, mm-hmm. We're not going anywhere. So, that's just it. That's why it's a classic reality of, you know, you may want to do something, but if you can't, there's not much you can do about it.
Well, I'm glad you brought up lights because I still have a hard time figuring out why in the hell an extraterrestrial spacecraft needs lights. For what?
Well, we assume that because we need it for being able to see. It's a requirement we need, not necessary extraterrestrial. So you're right. But light is a potential communicator in space and with other species, a way to communicate. And I think music, right? I think music we will find at some time in the future that music is the language of the universe. When you talked earlier about being able to, you know, have translators or being able to communicate, I think it'll be through perhaps, oddly enough, it'll be music. You know, science is numbers. I think mathematics and science are universal, meaning it will be throughout the universe. And just as I believe that the ability for people to use mathematics to and engineering to create things will ultimately be similar in some way. I think there's some basic facts to the universe that as man has evolved in his level of intelligence, what Einstein has come up with, you know, E=mc². I think it's universal. I don't think it's just, you know, special to our planet. It's something universal.
Well, there you are, because physics and the ability to travel is the E=mc².
Well, that's what is believed to be the case. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So we'll find out if we survive. Yeah. First of all, we got to survive this planet.
Well, well, it's been around 4.5 billion years or 6,000, whichever, take your pick. It seems to have done okay so far. You know, I mean,
it seemed to have survived on its well. On yeah. its, excuse me,
on its own.
Savara vibed on its own quite well. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. And, if I'm going to go to a planet and look around and try to see what's going on that planet, I'm sure as hell not going to light myself up to be visible.
Well, this is another issue too, and it's a psychological one. Human beings are a very social species. And a lot of mammals on our planet are social species, elephants, tigers, yeah. You know, the cat family, I mean, the apes. There are all kinds of social animals, dolphins, whales in the ocean, birds, and, you know, the list is endless. So as a social animal, we always seek the company of others. And so that has been a characteristic of why we have this desire to go into space. You know, we'd like to find somebody else to talk to. Hopefully they're benevolent. Like, you know, they're not, you know, Klingons and want to wipe us out, you know, like you said earlier. But that, I think that's probably something that's universal too. I think that any intelligent being, you know, it's like being a good athlete. You don't get to be a better tennis player by playing bad players. You become a better tennis player by playing better players.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why you have coaches that are better than you, you know, that's why you have them. So I think it's a characteristic of the human spirit to seek out other intelligence, other intelligent beings, or, you know, sentient beings, for the purpose of learning more and, you know, and getting a step up. We'll see.
Well, if that's true, then why not land? Why not land? Let's talk.
Well, because like I said, they probably see us as a third universal life, but, you know, life person, you know.
Well, why not come on down? You know, there's all kinds of things moving on the planet, right? There's, like you talked about, lions, tigers, elephants, deer, whatever.
Well, another reason why I believe that we've already had contact and had conversations with them, not only the massive reduction in nuclear weapons, which were dangerous and were assured destruction of our species and the planet, but the technology that's evolved since the 50s. I mean, since the development of the nuclear weapon and its use, there's been just that's a big word and probably not appropriate for our conversation, but I'll use it. Astronomical number of technologies in like 50 years. I'm not saying that man didn't come up with them, and I'm not saying we didn't develop them on our own, but I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, you guys clean this mess up, get rid of, like, you know, keep a few thousand for yourselves and to protect you from guys out in the universe that are out there because they're bad guys, and these will protect you from them. But, you know, you do that, we'll throw you some technology. Well, of course they would. Why wouldn't they? That would be the best thing for them to do. I mean, you know, when you look at how Velcro came about, it was a guy walking out in the fields and discovering a plant that he thought, well, I should be able to copy that, you know, and make use of it. And wow, Velcro. But I mean, like, there's so many other incredible technologies that I'm not saying are questionable. I'm not saying, but they were purely mathematical development. It was, you know, it had to come from mathematics. And so, I wouldn't be surprised that they dropped us a few little tokens here and there.
I wish I lived in your world.
You do. And welcome to it. And no. We're in the first world, so we're even better off.
Okay.
We didn't have to be born into something. We were born somewhere.
Yeah. Well, the theory that the simplest theory is often the easiest or the best.
Well, then you have to agree with me, because that's...
No, I don't. The simplest theory is that somewhere in the future they develop time travel, and the UFOs are us coming back to study us. The past.
I'm not so sure that that's a reality. That's one that I'm not convinced of, because if that were possible, it would have already happened.
Let's see. Are you expecting to see with human eyes and understand by the human brain to figure this out? Well, I don't know. Are we?
Well, you know, we're getting at a point where those are going to be replaced. I mean, eyes, body parts will be replaced mechanically, and artificial intelligence will operate a lot of different types of robotics for us. And, you know, it's going to change drastically the capability of the human being. I don't know how far, I don't know if it'll extend life. It may, but, you know, from what we understand, certainly from archaeology, you know, it was just a couple of thousand, or like what 3 or 4 thousand years ago, man lived longer than they do today. But we'll find out. I mean, all these things we're going to find out. That's what makes it so exciting. That's why every day is a special day to be alive.
Well, I'll go along with that. So, all right. Well, we've solved several problems today. There's no intelligent life in the universe. We figured that out.
No, don't take your personal opinions and make them fact.
They're a fact.
Your theories are your theories. My theories are mine.
Okay.
So we have theorized there may or may not be intelligent life form outside, or, you know, outside of the planet Earth. And we theorize there may or not have been extraterrestrials that have visited our planet. And we've theorized the size of the universe makes it, you know, the probability of other intelligent life quite large. So that's what we've done. And that's a good conversation to have because it's a real one. It's a fact-based real conversation.
Yeah. Well, the simplest theory is always the easiest. The easiest and the simplest is normally the correct
Hawkman's
one.
Razor. Yes, I know.
Yeah. So life on other planets, no question. Intelligent life on other planets.
In our solar system.
Anywhere.
No, you can't make that statement. I can't believe you're such a smart guy. I just can't believe you jump on making that statement. But that's okay.
I base it on what's happened here. On our own planet.
What's happened here is proof that it can and has happened elsewhere then.
Well, it's proof also that once it's gone, it's gone.
Well, we've already established that predicated on survival and the processes involved in that. But, you know, you either believe in creativity or evolution, right? So
either or, yeah.
So do you believe in creativity or evolution?
Well, I believe in both.
Oh, okay, good.
You know, I mean, animals evolve. You know, the egg came before the chicken. I mean,
all right. Of course. Well, yeah. If there was something there to lay the first egg.
Well, that wasn't the chicken, though. The chicken have to be in the egg.
You have to be. You have to go through a process. That's right. You know.
Yeah, it'd have to be. You know? All right. All right. Hey, if you're still around and even care a little bit about this and stuff like it. We do all kinds of stuff here, obviously. Subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment, let us know what you think. We also do these on StreamYard if you want to make your own podcasts or videos on YouTube or Facebook Live or LinkedIn Live or wherever. And that's how we do it. And there's a link in the description below on Facebook or on YouTube, rather. And if you want to support us monetarily, hey, there's a link to our Patreon site so you can contribute to us and you get all kinds of perks for that, you know, from both of us. And I don't know if this is a demonstration of you want to support us or not with our with our intelligent life demonstration today. But at any rate, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Hey, don't forget, look at the crawl below. Tom and Shane are live every Saturday morning on radio, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. You can hear us anywhere in the world, KMMSAM.com. Click listen now. There's no sign up. There's no personal information needed, no email. And there is a theory that if you listen to us, you might avoid COVID. So, you know, just a theory, you know, we can't go out on too much of a limb here, but let's see. Oh, man, Tom, it's a sad day in Jerseyville when they tore down the white spot. That's my hometown, Shane, and the white spot is where we used to go after school for burgers and stuff like that. So I don't know. Thanks, Larry.
You know, that's fascinating because there's an actual chain of restaurants in Canada called White Spot, started in Vancouver back in 1938, and it was the first drive-up drive-in with car service and women on roller skates.
Wow.
In 1938. Imagine that. Right. True story, the White Spot.
Yeah. What kind of perks do you get? Well, you get our advice on business and things like that for you can get personal one-on-one with us. You can get my books free. There's all kinds of perks on there for.
And we'd like to have you on the program and participate in the show and talk about your business. And
yeah, we'll put your name up here as a supporter and all of that stuff. So yeah, if you have a website, we can link to your website, anything like that. We do all that stuff. So go over to Patreon and take a look. The description is in the description below on YouTube. And Interesting topic. Great show. Thanks. Thanks, Linda, for being here. We appreciate that very much. And we hope other folks will join our little family here. We would love to have your support. Don't forget to subscribe and like us.
And don't forget the winter solstice is coming up on the 21st, and Merry Christmas.
Shortest day of the year.
That's right.
Yeah. I need a short day, Shane. These long days are bugging me, man. Yeah,
Next Tuesday is the 21st. We'll be on. So
all right.
That's podcast.
It. Yeah.
You bet.
And also, we'll be on radio Christmas morning, by the way. So hang in there. You can listen to us next Saturday, this week from Saturday. Week from this Saturday. So, so we'll have some fun on Christmas morning, and we hope that you will join us. So, by all means. All right. I can't see any reason for staying any longer, Shane.
No, we've covered this subject quite well.
I think so. I think
actually, it was a great cover up. Eagle.
Yeah, that's right. So, all right, we report, you decide. Are UFOs real? Prove it. I don't know if we proved anything today, but anyway, we're throwing out theories, we're throwing out ideas for you to talk about. So, thanks for listening, thanks for watching, and you can hear us on Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time, KMMSAM.com. Bye for now.